It's the Kim Monson Show, analyzing the most important stories.
I find that it takes work to get your brain around these ideas, and it takes work to engage in these conversations.
The latest in politics and world affairs.
With what is happening down at the State House, I used to think that it was above my pay grade to read the legislation, and it's not.
Today's current opinions and ideas.
I see big danger in as much as we will be giving an unelected bureaucrat the power to make rules about what we inject into our body.
Is it freedom or is it force? Let's have a conversation.
Indeed. Let's have a conversation and welcome to the Kim Monson Show. I thank each and every one of you for joining us. You each are treasured. You're valued. You have purpose. Live with intention and take care of your heart, your soul, your mind, and your body. Strive for excellence. And thank you to this team I get to work with as producer Steve, Zach, Patty, Keith, Charlie, and all the people here at Crawford Broadcasting. Cannot believe it's Thursday. It seemed like I just sat down and it was Monday morning here, Steve.
Well, thank God it's not.
So tomorrow is Friday, and we're coming into Independence Day week. Last night, the girls came over. We had some of those great Hooters wings. Do you know what? I didn't get to the table fast enough, and I didn't get any.
I know that feeling.
You do.
The only thing that didn't happen to you that happened to me is I ended up out in the yard in the snow.
That's true. We're not really sexist, but very seldom do we have guys attend that meeting, and you actually got to attend. I think that's when we had C.L. Bryant.
That's right.
That was pretty interesting.
Hey, can I say I told you so?
About what?
Almost 2 weeks ago. I think it was almost 2 weeks ago. It was a Friday, and I was crowing. Texas Governor Greg Abbott had invited Trump to come so that they could make a joint visit to the border. And I told you then that the Dems better watch themselves here. Their strategists better get their minds in gear. If they let Trump beat Kamala Harris to the border, it will be the biggest political blunder ever made. So guess who's going to the border tomorrow?
Tomorrow, before Trump, that would be Kamala, huh?
That's right. And I...
You did call it. You called it right here.
I wish I would have been a bug on the wall for the, you know, the strategist meeting. What are we going to do? We got to do something. Versus also to be there when they told her she was going. Obviously, she doesn't want to go. So I would have loved to see the look in her face, like, for real.
This is going to be super interesting. This is really going to be interesting. But you did. You can say I told you so because you called that 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
You're clairvoyant.
One for me.
One for you. There you go. Hey, check out our website. That's Kim Monson, MONSON.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter. You'll get all kinds of great information, information about our upcoming guests, as well as our most recent podcast and our most recent op-eds. And we've been in a little bit of a summer lull on that, and we are going to be ramping up. In fact, there's going to be in this newsletter, Alan Thomas has done a great op-ed, and then Patty, our researcher, has done a great op-ed on this initiative that looks like it's going to be on the ballot. It's called LEAP, and it's going to take marijuana money, and they say that it's going to go for after-school programs to help help kids that are kind of falling behind in school. It's like, you know what? Our kids wouldn't be falling behind in school if, in fact, we were teaching them reading, writing, arithmetic, and critical thinking instead of critical race theory and sexualizing them through the LGBTQ sex ed agenda.
I would have told them that, you know, right now there's only 168 hours in a week. And unless you find a way to change that, you can't be bringing all these other things to the table and trying to jam them into normal school hours.
That's right. And so that is why our kids are falling behind. And there is a solution, and it is not this LEAP initiative. And Patty has done some amazing work on that. And so anyway, both of those op-eds are going to be in the newsletter.
Hey, give yourself some credit here. When you say, hey, we've been in a lull, it's not like you haven't been doing anything.
True that.
You're building this in-home production facility, which is, you know, looks like it's first class. You've been traveling. You've got a lot on your plate.
That's for sure. So, yeah, we haven't been just twiddling our thumbs, but we have not been. We've not been publishing op-eds and publishing new podcasts, and all that is ramping up again. So sign up for our weekly newsletter. You'll get all that information. You can email me at kim@kimmunson.com. And I thank each and every one of you for contributing to support our independent voice. We are an independent voice. I buy my airtime for both of my shows, and that way it keeps, we do all the guest selection, all the subject selection, and it keeps us independent as we look at these issues. And it's because of these great sponsors that I get to work with, like Hooters Restaurants. They have five locations. That is Loveland, Westminster, Aurora, Lone Tree, and Colorado Springs. And all of you that support us, I so thank you. The America's Veterans Stories this week, that is on Sundays, 3 to 4 p.m. and 10 to 11. Powerful. Tim Hall, I met him through Cooper's Troopers, which is that group of Marine veterans that meets up at the American Legion up in Arvada. And he has written a book. It's Marines Never Cry, Becoming a Man When It Mattered. Fascinating conversation, and that's going to be this Sunday. And speaking of our veterans and our military, Saturday, June 26th at 10 a.m. at Mountain View Memorial Park in Boulder, Sergeant Donald DeLoy Stoddard, United States Marine Corps, World War II, survived the battles of Guadalcanal only to be killed at Tarawa on November 22nd, 1943. And he's coming home. And they're going to have those services on Saturday morning. At this point, I've got another commitment. I can't make it. But if I didn't have that commitment, I would be there to pay my respects to this young man who gave his life fighting evil and tyranny in the service of our country, Steve.
You know, it's not funny. It's probably fortuitous. I was busy yesterday and got home. I was kind of wore out, and I just flipped on the TV doing a little channel hopping. And came across a movie, a John Wayne movie, The Sands of Iwo Jima. Now, obviously, it's overacting, and you know, Wayne sometimes not at his best, but you still got a feel for what it must have been like on Iwo Jima and any of those Pacific battles. It was just incredible.
Oh my gosh, that is for sure. And speaking of that, I guess it was our guest last week on America's Veteran Stories. Gary Houseman, actually, he met John Wayne when John Wayne was filming the movie The Green Beret. And so anyway, a little information there. I am excited. In the second segment, we will be talking with Danielle Neuschwanger. She is a candidate for governor here in Colorado. And Karen Levine at the bottom of the hour, got to ask her what's going on with this whole Biden assault on local zoning and assault on our single family housing. And then in the third and fourth segment, Seth Barron, he is the managing editor of The American Mind, and he's written a book, The Last Days of New York, A Reporter's True Tale. And so that's going to be fascinating as well. We look at these issues through this lens of freedom versus force, force versus freedom. If something's a good idea, you should not have to force people. Socialism ultimately comes down to force, and socialism is not about free stuff. And there is no free stuff. The only way somebody gets something for free is if they take it from somebody else. And so it's never compassionate to take other people's rights or their property, their freedom, or their livelihood via force, whether with a weapon, policy, this next one, excessive, unpredictable and excessive taxation. We've seen this one, fear, coercion, we got a lot of that going along, or the latest silent thief is government-induced inflation. And that little gas station that we both drive by, did you see? I think within the last week, gas is up like 20 cents. And that's before we see the tax, the fees. I mean, I said taxes, but it was fees on this new transportation bill. That's before those things even kick in.
It's $1.25 from the station that I'm using as a reference. It is up $1.25 from January 20th. So it was $1.99. You do the math. You know, whatever that percentage is, it's significant.
And it's because of policy. It is because of policy. And that is taking money out of everyday hardworking people's pockets. And it doesn't have to happen. That's why elections matter. Let's see. Oh, I learned a new word today in our quote for today. Did you look at the quote for today?
I did. And you're going out on a limb here. I mean, not that it's anything bad, but just all these strange words. Go ahead.
I know. Okay, this is from Thomas Jefferson. And you know him. He was the writer of the United States Declaration of Independence, third president of the United States. Was he in your class or...
I knew this was coming. I'm going to say I know him because of history. You know him because you went to school with him. So go ahead.
This is what he said. He said, New York, like London, seems to be the placenta of all depravities of human nature. And of course, I didn't know what that word meant. Did you know what that word meant?
No, and I'm glad you put the references in.
Okay, so closina is the cleanser from the Latin verb cluo, to cleanse, from which also cloacha, I didn't look that up, sewer drain, was a goddess who presided over the closina maxima, the main trunk outlet of the system of sewers in Rome.
They had a goddess for everything. And all I can say is, Mr. Jefferson, if it was bad in your day, you should see it today.
You should see it now, that's for sure. Okay, let's, can you believe this on the headlines? The very first one, and this is from the National Pulse. And it says, disgraced Daszak defended Fauci-funded gain-of-function coronavirus manipulation with pandemic potential. Steve, if you hang around long enough, the truth starts to come out. And it says, the now disgraced COVID origin investigator, Peter Daszak, whose Echo Health Alliance funneled U.S. taxpayer cash to the Wuhan Institute of Virology, defended SARS gain-of-function experiments that potentially rendered the virus capable of directly infecting humans in a Nature article unearthed from November 2015. The National Pulse is publishing this information for the first time shortly after Daszak was recused from the COVID-19 Origin Commission convened by the Lancet Medical Journal. What do you think of that?
All I can say is that, you know, in the interest of time, we need to probably move on. But anybody wants to read this article, it's from the nationalpulse.com, and it'll get you.
Eventually, the truth comes out.
Yeah, it'll grab you by the throat.
And remember the quote from the Bible, and the truth shall set you free? It's taken a while, but we will find the truth. I wish the mainstream media was actually reporting on some of this stuff. There was one other thing, and this is from the Epic Times. The CDC finds more cases of heart inflammation than expected in vaccinated young males. That is something to keep an eye on. And then there was one other one. Out of 4,000 vaccinated adults, 4,000 vaccinated adults actually also tested positive for the coronavirus. So we are watching all this, and this force and coercion and mandates regarding getting the vaccination. It's not a vaccination. It's not been approved by the FDC. FDC, right? No, FDA. FDA.
Yeah,
there we go. And it is an experimental drug. So maybe we might want to put the brakes on all this force and coercion going on around that. Let's go to break. When we come back, Danielle Neuschwanger has thrown her hat in the ring for governor here in Colorado, and we're going to find out why and what she thinks that she can do with that job. So we'll be right back.
With the federal government printing money, it looks like inflation is on the horizon. That is why you should lock in a low rate now on your mortgage. Lauren Levy with Polygon Financial Group is here to help. Lauren works with a variety of lenders to assist you in finding the mortgage that is just right for you. Locking in a low rate now will save you thousands of dollars over the life of your loan. Don't procrastinate. Don't wait any longer. Call Lauren today at 303-880-8881. That's 303-880-8881.
You'd like to get in touch with one of Kim Munson's sponsors, but you can't recall their phone number. Find a full list of advertising partners on Kim's website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim, MONSON.com.
And welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there, and you can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. And thank you to all of you who support us, because we are an independent voice. We search for truth and clarity by looking at these issues as freedom versus force, force versus freedom. And speaking of force, there's Mr. Executive Order, had over 400 executive orders, and that would be Governor Polis down at the governor's mansion. And he is up for re-election in 2022. On the line with me is Danielle Neuschwanger, and she has thrown her hat in the ring to unseat him. Danielle, welcome to the show.
Good morning. How are you?
Well, thank you. You have thrown your hat in the ring to run for governor of Colorado. Why?
Well, you know, I am a native of Colorado. And in fact, I am the only native of Colorado on the Republican ticket. And I'm also the only livestock owner. So I'm a cattle rancher, small business owner, mom, wife. And I'm just so tired when I look around at all of the stuff that's happening in my state. Everything that has happened over the last 20 years from people who truly have not grown up here, who don't know our Western values and way of life, and they just come in and they change things. And so I said enough is enough. It's time for me to take a stand and put Colorado values back to the Capitol.
Danielle, speaking of rural Colorado, it seems like there is a war on rural Colorado right now from this legislature and from this governor. In fact, he had issued a meat out day when agriculture is one of our biggest industries here. And of course, there was a big pushback on that throughout the state. But it seems like there has been a real war on agriculture. And to connect the dots, a war on agriculture actually is a war on our food source. And so once that happens, if they continue on, we will, at the grocery store, start to see limited qualities and higher prices for our products at the grocery store. So this is super serious.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, we need to kind of look bigger picture, too, because it's not just a war at the price that you're going to pay at your dinner table, but also it's a war on private property ownership, because when you no longer can sell your cattle or your livestock, you no longer can pay your mortgage. And so people like Bill Gates are going to come in overnight, seize that private property, and it's all related to the Green New Deal.
Well, and to that point, my understanding is that Bill Gates has been buying up farm and ranch and farmland throughout the country. Is that true?
It is. It's 100% true. And what his goal is he's pushing for this synthetic burger, the synthetic soy meat, which, you know, soy is very bad for men because it drops your testosterone levels. But also, he's invented the farmerless tractor. And so you're now alienating and removing jobs related to the agriculture industry in support and operational roles. With soy, it just blows my mind that people think we can have so many soy fields here in Colorado, because we are a desert state. And soy actually is one of the crop takes up a lot of water. And so his goal to come in and buy up as much private property as possible in Colorado, all in relation to the Green New Deal, because they want to use solar farms, wind turbine farms, all of which have detrimental health effects to the people. His entire goal is to come in and do that, to seize that private property. In Colorado, there are 34,000 ranches and farms that hold 32 million acres of land. That is a huge chunk of land that the government wants. And the only way they can get it is by bankrupting the private citizen.
Well, one other thing, Danielle, and that is over on the national level. And as we've been doing all this research, the World Economic Forum, this seems like crazy talk, but it's there. I've read it. And one of their goals is by 2030 that we will not own anything. And we'll be talking with Karen Levine at the bottom of the hour. She's with RE/MAX Alliance regarding this assault on private property and home ownership. But another way that the Harris-Biden, Obama-Rice administration and those radical activists in the Democrat Party in Congress right now is through inheritance taxes. And that really hurts, again, rural America, because farmers, sometimes from a net worth standpoint, you look at the land, it's like, oh my gosh, so they have a high net worth. However, they're basically just kind of making a living on that. But when the farmer passes on, to try to keep the family farm together is very difficult, because that high net worth, many times the kids have to sell off the farmland in order just to pay taxes. And then here would be somebody like Bill Gates swooping in to purchase that.
Oh, absolutely. Farmers are land rich and cash broke, and I think a lot of people forget that. And I was at the Colorado Cattlemen's Convention this week where Jared Polis actually showed up to give a speech, and he blatantly kind of said, oh, I'm working against all of these bills that are coming up, the attack on ag. My brother's a farmer. And, you know, that's a complete blatant lie. He has the ability to veto any of these bills, and he has not done that.
Oh, good point.
Also, he showed up 5 minutes of his speech. He talked about vaccination and went so far as to bring his own vaccination bus to the Cattlemen's Convention. This is not a man that showed up in support of agriculture. This is a man that showed up in support of special interest agenda with a mouthful of lies. He is not for the people of Colorado.
Okay, and you said he showed up with a vaccination bus?
Yes, he went so far as to bring his own vaccination bus to the Cattlemen's Convention.
Huh. That's kind of fascinating. Okay, Danielle, we've talked about rural Colorado. We've got this urban corridor. And what's your thoughts about that?
You know, I think the biggest problem that we face as Coloradans right now is that we are so divided between urban and rural Colorado. And really what that comes down to is that we're not getting both groups to the table to have conversations. Instead, we're alienating both groups. We kind of have this divisive hatred towards the city and the farmland. What we need to do is really just sit down, and we need to bring 4-H clubs back into Denver, but also we need to look at some of the things that are going on in Denver that are now creeping out to rural Colorado, such as drug trafficking, sex trafficking, child pornography. We have a good opportunity right now to bridge the divide, but also to create better opportunities for jobs, for education, for crime reform. And we're just not having people come to the table. We're just kind of living in this everyone hates everyone world. So we really need to start bridging that gap by really getting people together. And one of the things that I just recently did was introduce the Log Cabin Republicans, who is our LGBTQ group down in Denver, to the Colorado Cattlemen's Association. And what that was about was this group would like to get out to rural Colorado to talk about prostitution, mental health issues, drug abuse, drug addiction in the LGBTQ community, because we are seeing increased suicide rates with the schools to talk about that. In return, the Cattlemen's Association would like to educate them on some of the issues that we face in rural Colorado. That's an alliance that's never occurred before, but that's what we need to be focusing on, is how do we get people from two different worlds to sit down and have a mutually beneficial conversation. That's how you fix Colorado, and that's how you fix America.
How can people get more information about you, Danielle?
They can go to my website, danielleforco.com, or on any social media, just at danielleforco.
Okay. And Danielle, what would be your final thought that you'd leave with our listeners today?
You know, I hear a lot about other politicians in the race, and I am not a politician, so I would just encourage people, before you go down the rabbit hole of looking for your next politician, let's focus on your next leader, because we really do need to take special interest agendas and special interest lobbyists out of our future. And the way you do that is you find someone who's going to fight for you, not fight for donation dollars.
Okay. Well, Danielle Neuschwanger, thank you so much. And thank you for stepping forward here in Colorado, because we've, and you alluded to that, Colorado was built on rugged individuals who would take risk and believed in the individual. And that's anything but that down at the governor's mansion right now, when he has written over 400 executive orders. We need elected representatives, not kings. And so, Danielle, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me. Have a wonderful day, everyone.
Thanks so much. And let's jump over here with Karen Levine. You know her. She is an award-winning realtor with RE/MAX Alliance. And if you're going to buy or sell your home, she is the person to talk to. If you're looking at a new build, I would highly recommend you chat with her as well and have her represent you. It's important to have somebody on your side of the table. And she is fearless and tireless in understanding this assault on our private property rights, this assault on home ownership. And she volunteers on the local level, on the national level, to protect private property rights. Karen Levine, it's a battle out there right now, isn't it?
Well, it is a bit of a battle, Kim. You know, we've had some great conversations about the assault on home ownership and the fact that nationwide we have the most limited inventory we've ever seen historically available for people to buy, but the desire of the American people is to be a homeowner, and so they're out in fierce numbers trying to secure a house.
Karen, one of the conversations that I had with Randall O'Toole, who is an expert on urban planning and transportation and housing, was he said that people really do, and many people, I mean, we agree, we think there should be all kinds of choices, but public policy is trying to limit choices and push people into what the planners think people, where the planners think we should live instead of where people want to live. But people do like having their own park, and that is their backyard. And I remember when this whole Wuhan China virus pandemic thing started, Kamala Harris, well, this was before this, Kamala Harris was I probably kind of like this 15-minute neighborhood thing, but she had said that everybody should be in a neighborhood where they can walk to a park. But then when we had the Wuhan China virus reaction disruption, they closed the parks. Remember? They plastic wrapped the picnic tables and they cordoned off the swings. And it's like, well, I guess I'm glad I have my own backyard, my own private property. You know what?
Exactly. And I think, you know, there is a demographic that urban living is ideal for. And it's our very mobile young people who are establishing their careers. And we saw Denver become a vibrant urban area, but after or during the virus, those people were locked up in their basic apartments and just really wanted to get outside, and it wasn't good for mental health. I think, you know, we've just seen a lot of people who have wanted to make housing changes since the virus, but not only that, people who understand that home ownership builds wealth in their families, and it's an opportunity. So it's challenging out there, but as we move into June, we see historically our inventory increases, and that is happening, not by thousands of homes, but, you know, by 10, 20, 30 homes a day in communities, and it's a good thing. So there are houses out there for those who are looking.
And Karen, you and I, we've been friends for many, many years, and you have seen the ups and downs and all the movement in the market. And I think there's a lot of people that feel right now they can just put a sign in the yard and the house will sell. And that is kind of true, but it really, it behooves you always to work with good people. Why should people contact you in this hot housing market if they're going to buy or sell their home, particularly if they're going to sell it?
Well, if they're looking to sell their home, there are a lot of market options out there. And when you don't present your home to the marketplace, you do not know the highest price that the market will bear. And so what I bring to the table is a lot of professionalism and a lot of research data, a lot of market data that helps us to position that home so we can maximize what you sell your home for, which then maximizes your equity that you pull out of your home for your next home purchase or, you know, for your next stage in life, how you want to use that wealth you've developed. And most homeowners do not engage in the sale of a home for 15, 20 years in our current communities. And so it's not something they do every day. It appears to be very, very easy, but we have over 96 things that create turbulence in a real estate transaction, and my job is to manage that turbulence on your behalf. And if you don't know what the turbulence is going to be, much less how to manage it, that's when a professional like myself can bring a lot of value to your transaction.
How can people reach you, Karen Levine?
They can reach me at 303-877-7516.
Again, that's 303-877-7516. Karen Levine, thanks so much. We'll talk to you next week.
That sounds great.
Okay, we're going to go to break. When we come back, we'll be talking with Seth Barron, and he is the managing editor of The American Mind. He's written a book, The Last Days of New York, A Reporter's True Tale. You will not want to miss this conversation. We'll be right back.
Home ownership and private property rights help you build wealth for you and your family. RE/MAX Alliance award-winning realtor Karen Levine understands this. Supply is super tight right now.
This is why you need a seasoned professional with excellent negotiating skills on your side of the table, whether buying or selling an existing home or buying a new build. As a member of the National Association of Realtors Board of Directors, Karen Levine volunteers hours of her time to help you build your American dream. Call her today at 303-877-7516. Again, that's 303-877-7516.
All of Kim's sponsors are an inclusive partnership with Kim and are not affiliated with or in partnership with KLZ or Crawford Broadcasting. If you would like to support the work of the Kim Munson Show and grow your business, contact Kim at her website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com.
Americans Veteran Stories with Kim Munson, Sunday afternoons at 3. Here on KLZ 560 AM and KLZ 100.7.
And welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That's Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there. And you can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. And thank you to each and every one of you who contribute to keep our independent voice on the air as we search for truth and clarity by looking at these issues through this lens of freedom versus force, force versus freedom. Socialism ultimately comes down to force. It's not about free stuff. The free stuff is just the carrot to try to get you to vote for that. On the line with me is Seth Barron. And in our promo, we took this from his publicist. It says, in the future, when people ask how New York City fell to pieces, they can be told in the words of Hemingway, gradually, then suddenly. New Yorkers awoke from a slumber of ease and prosperity to discover their glorious city in crisis and the underpinnings of its fortune gutted. Seth Barron, that is pretty amazing words. I used to go back to New York on a regular basis. I've been in the fashion industry for many years, so I'd go back to New York four times a year. Love the city. It's a tough city. You have to be aware of what's going on. What's happened, Seth Barron?
Well, things have turned, we've taken a turn for the worse, Kim. We've seen crime escalate very rapidly. Shootings are up over 100% in the last couple of years. Murders are up about 50% or so. And all of this, the seeds for all of this were planted and tended lovingly by the progressive ascendancy that came in with Bill de Blasio 8 years ago and, you know, which continues to rule the city and will continue to rule the city.
It is an amazing place. However, I always felt I really had to have my wits about me. And you can actually walk the city. I remember I walked from Midtown down to the Trade Center. And it is interesting. I mean, it took a while, but it was fascinating to take that walk and just see the different neighborhoods. And I always found it so vibrant. But I have to tell you, Seth, right now, I have no desire to go back to New York right now.
Well, I hear that. I hear that a lot. And I'm not going to lie. The city has not turned into Mogadishu quite yet. However, it's definitely dirtier, dingier, and more dangerous. We have a lot of homeless people who are just wandering the streets in kind of a daze or, angry. There's a lot more drugs. I mean, what happened is the they decriminalized quality of life offenses like public urination. So basically, everywhere you go now, it smells like urine. And also, they decriminalized marijuana. You know, I guess you have that out there too.
Right.
So the whole place stinks of weed. So then, of course, they instituted bail reform, meaning that you can't hold anyone on bail except, for murder or something. So basically, arresting people just turns them back to the streets. They changed the laws on criminal discovery, so now witnesses are terrified to cooperate with the police. So the rate of, case closure is way down. The NYPD was placed under a federal monitor, which scrutinizes their every action. They took away qualified immunity from the police. We have district attorneys who won't prosecute, cases, like they just let hundreds of people skate on looting and rioting from last summer. They just said, "Eh, we're not going to prosecute that." So, you know, all of this combined is what makes the city like take this turn from, you know, like I said, ease and prosperity to this ugly situation we're in now. And the problem is that the people in charge seem to think it's great and that we need to double down on it.
Well, elections are so important, and you just had this primary election in New York. What's your thoughts on that?
Well, I was pretty surprised. I was hoping that things were going to take a different turn. Okay, it's true that the guy who won who appears to have won the primary for mayor, is not the worst of the bunch, but he's nobody's idea of like a great choice. Eric Adams is the Brooklyn Borough president. He's always had like been dogged by like corruption charges. He's a former police officer, but one who kind of worked against the NYPD a lot. He's not a real, I mean, he's made some law and order type noises, but it's not to be trusted. But then down ballot, the city just elected all of these socialist types, and in some cases outright socialists. And the guy who's going to be the next Manhattan district attorney doesn't think that violent felonies should merit a jail term. Like, he thinks that felony, like, you know, if you assault somebody and beat them up or do a carjacking, I guess, that you should have some non-jail disposition. Like, you know, trauma-informed counseling or something like that. So this is just a terrible, terrible state of affairs. So the election, I was very disappointed.
Does the Republican, and who's running on the Republican side, do they have a chance?
Well, I don't know if your listeners know who Curtis Sliwa is, but he kind of made a name for himself in the 70s when he founded the Guardian Angels.
Okay.
And, you know, this was on national television. You know, they were just sort of a public safety squad, and they would go around wearing red berets and try to keep things safe. You know, he's a local character. He's on the radio. He's all right. I don't think he has much of a shot at becoming the mayor. So, I mean, he's good. I mean, he's definitely pro law and order, but I don't see it. I don't see it like having a serious shot.
Of course, I'm asking you this question, and we've had it happen here in Denver as well, because we have a Democrat mayor, and they tore up last summer. They tore up downtown Denver, and Denver is rising crime as well. And how is it that people? This is I don't know the answer to this. How is it that people are electing people that will not keep our neighborhood safe? How is this happening in our country, Seth?
Well, there's this idea that the cause of crime is not, you know, people going out and doing crime, that there's root causes. There's root causes in society, namely like inequality, poverty, these sort of, you know, social causes, and that's what needs to be addressed. And it's not a question of, you know, of punishment or, you know, the threat of negative consequences for your actions, but that, you know, basically what we need to do is pour more money into services. And, you know, this is the whole defund the police theory, that if we need to take money away from the police, and why don't we put it into social services? The problem is that there's no evidence that poverty causes crime. Yes, poor, you know, crime is associated with people who, you know, with poor people, but most poor people don't commit crime. There's no evidence that you can, like, prevent it by, you know, I don't know, giving people counseling or art therapy. But this is the idea. And, you know, look, I've been to Denver. I know what Colfax looks like. You know, we're getting it, that sort of scene is here, too. What you have are people who are drug addicts, who maybe there's mentally ill people. But, you know, and that's fine. They can get, like, help. But you can't permit them to just do whatever they want and steal things. It creates a criminogenic environment that leads to just, you know, total disorder and the breakdown of society.
Yeah, there's the big question, and that is chaos versus order. And in the American idea, there is order. There's this great vision of that all men are created equal by God with these rights of life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness. And really the best way for people to get out of poverty is not, as you mentioned, these programs and art programs or whatever. Just bear in mind, somebody's getting paid to do that. And I submit to you, we now have a homelessness industrial complex because there are people that are getting rich off of putting in place these homeless programs, yet the homeless, we're seeing more of that because you're putting more and more money into it. Gosh, if you solve the problem, then all of these people that are living off the system, these bureaucrats and politicians and interested parties, they wouldn't have a job anymore. So it's not their goal to solve the problem. In fact, the problem will get worse the more money that we put into it, I submit to you. Seth Baron, your thoughts?
Oh, I totally agree. You know, it's funny. Social workers and people like that, they always say, like, the problem is our goal is to put ourselves out of business. But that's, like, you know, by curing all of society's problems. But that's obviously a total lie. They have no interest in curing society's problems. They have interest in expanding the definition of what a problem is that they can deal with. So you see things like, you know, expanded services for the homelessness, for the homeless. You see these calls to convert down, and, you know, office buildings into housing, so that everybody can have a house. This idea that of housing first. I don't know if you've got that in Denver. That is like, well, homeless people need to get a house. And it's up to society to house everyone first before we demand that they get off drugs or get a job or go to school or do anything. Get them a house, and then it'll all the other problems will take care of themselves. Well, that's just patently false. And it's simply a ruse to move the country into total socialism. So this is what we're seeing.
Okay. Hey, Seth Baron, let's go to break. This is a fascinating conversation. I'm talking with Seth Baron, and he is the managing editor of The American Mind. He's also written this book, The Last Days of New York, A Reporter's True Tale. Before we go to break, though, Castlegate Knife and Tool is another great sponsor of mine, and they are a family-owned business located right here in Sedalia, Colorado, and they have knives from the best blade makers from throughout the world. They have, if you are a chef, in fact, last year, well, when we started to have weddings again, I got some steak knife sets for the bride and groom and two different occasions, and they absolutely love them. So whether or not it's a gift or you're a chef, a sportsman, a collector, check out Castlegate Knife and Tool, and their website is castlegate.com. That's castlegate.com. We have Seth Baron on the line. We're going to go to break, and we'll be right back.
Would you have ever dreamed that freedom of speech, freedom of thought, freedom of assembly, and freedom of religion would be under assault and attack in America? Unbelievably, it is happening right before our eyes. That is why it is important to keep free-thinking, independent voices on the airwaves, the internet, and social media. Kim Munson is one of those important voices. Help her keep independence alive. Go to KimMunson.com to contribute to join Kim in the battle of ideas raging in America today. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com.
It's up to you, New York, New York.
And welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Check out our website. That's Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there. You can email me at kim@kimmunson.com. And thank you for all of your support. On the line with me is Seth Barron. And this did take my breath away when I read this from your publicist. It says, in the future, when people ask how New York City fell to pieces, they can be told in the words of Hemingway, gradually, then suddenly. New Yorkers awoke from a slumber of ease and prosperity to discover their glorious city in crisis, and the underpinnings of its fortune gutted. Seth Barron, my understanding is in this New York mayor election that they use something called ranked choice voting. Where is that the case for sure? Do you know?
They brought in this new system of voting where, instead of just voting for the top person, you know, for whoever you want, and then they have a runoff, you vote for your top five, and then so you wind up with a ton of candidates, and then they go through and they eliminate the bottom one and resort the votes, and they keep doing this until somebody has 50% of the votes.
Well, we see a real push towards this, and I do not think that this is a good idea. Because ultimately, somebody could become a mayor or win the office and maybe not really gotten as a first vote, you know, the majority of the votes. And I think it's very dangerous what we're seeing here. And it's taking me some time to understand this. But the more I look at it, the more it seems to me like they can do funny stuff with elections.
You know what? I think you're actually right. I mean, there's different ways to do it. Like, okay, well, we throw out the top, we throw out the bottom person and then we resort their votes. But, okay, in San Francisco, for instance, the way they had it set up was that if you don't put a number two or a number three, like somehow your votes didn't get counted again, or it turned out in some crazy way. And that's how they wound up with Chesa Boudin as their district attorney. Like, he got very few votes, but he got enough second and third votes, and then other people didn't leave. So it turned out, through exactly the kind of, like, machinations and monkey shines that you're describing, that this complete radical disaster who hasn't prosecuted any rape cases, who wants, like, everybody out of jail, basically in revenge for what happened to his parents, like, who were murderers, you know, radical communist murderers who went to prison. It's just like the worst thing imaginable. So, I mean, I don't know. Maybe ranked choice voting is neutral in theory, but it has to be very well designed and very carefully designed. And you're right. There's something weird going on with it. I'm not exactly sure what it is yet.
Well, and I think we may see this play out because at this particular point in time, this Eric Adams is seems to be ahead. But we'll have to just wait and see how this whole thing works out, because I think it's going to be very interesting. So I think we should watch this. We had a representative out here in Colorado that put forth legislation for ranked choice voting in some of our elections here in Colorado. And we're seeing these bad ideas are being kind of cut and pasted. As you mentioned, San Francisco, oh my gosh, here is another beautiful city that I probably at this point in time won't go back to. Because, in fact, I was in San Francisco and I was with a family member and I was going to walk down some stairs. They were outdoor stairs. And they said, don't touch the railing. I was going to touch the railing. And they said, because the homeless urinate on the railing. It's like, how is this happening to our beautiful city, Seth Barron?
I mean, it's the same thing here. I don't understand. Look, there's this idea that is right about cut and pasting these progressive bad ideas that from city to city, you see it spreading like some kind of like horrible virus. This idea that, look, if people are peeing outside, it's only because we've failed to provide public bathrooms. So you can't punish people for that. That's, like, totally, like, inhumane. So you have to make sure that, you know, so if someone pees outside, they're only doing it out of necessity. Similarly, if you see someone injecting, like, heroin into his neck sitting on a street corner, well, I mean, why are you criticizing them? Why don't you build them a safe injection site where they can go and do it cleanly and with, like, nice needles and someone there supervising him in case, like, you know, he overdoses? These are all societal failures that have led to this dysfunction. Nobody's responsible.
Yeah, that is the thing. And who they're trying to make feel responsible is everyday hardworking people. And then they use that excuse and trying to guilt people into taking more and more of their money, taking more and more government power from them. And to this point, Seth, they are no longer looking at individuals as human beings. They are treating them like pets instead of human beings. Because when you look at somebody and say, we need to give you something, and just as an outlier, there are some people out there that really, truly need help. And it used to be that charities stepped in to do that instead of government. But now the government is treating people like pets, and they no longer look at them as human beings of value. And instead, it's really more this ticket for another government program. There is something that is so cruel and uncompassionate about that, Seth Barron.
Oh, yeah, you're absolutely right. You know, we see that in New York, this whole idea that inequality is the main problem in the city, that, you know, the fact that there's some people are rich and some people are poor, that's the problem, that somehow that needs to be rectified by government, which needs to step in and change it. Now, yes, it's true, there is a lot of inequality in New York, but 40% of New York are immigrants who come here with nothing, and they don't come here for equity or for equality. Nobody moves from Bangladesh or wherever to come to the United States in order to get a free, you know, dish of cornmeal. They come here for opportunity. That's what's always been the lure of New York City, is that there's tremendous opportunity. So, yes, there might be inequality, that some people are rich and some people are poor, but that's not a bug. That's the feature. And more than that, it's like the very rich who are now despised and hated, whose taxes fund all of the social services that people like. And now they're going to drive them out, you know, because they want to raise taxes. They want to make things harder on business. So, no, you're absolutely right. It's a complete disaster. And the viewpoint that people are pets, I think, is very astute. That they, people exist in order to be served by the government and thus serve the government. It's pernicious, and this is exactly what you hear from Bill de Blasio wrote an op-ed for the New York Times during the pandemic saying that the federal government should draft all medical professionals in America into federal service. This would be like 5 million people. Well, imagine if he had done that. Imagine if they had done that. I mean, what kind of, like, crazy thing to do would that have been? And would that have, like, made the pandemic better? I mean, it's just sort of been like a complete federalization of, I mean,
it is astounding. But they want to federalize. That means have the federal government take over many aspects of our lives. Hey, Seth, we've got a couple of minutes left. We haven't talked about Cuomo at all. When you mentioned the pandemic, here he put seniors with COVID into nursing homes. Many people died. What's your thoughts on Cuomo?
Cuomo is a opportunistic egomaniac who will do anything to, you know, keep himself in power, promote his own you know, legacy and so forth. He signed all of this all the bail reform and all of this criminal justice reform. So people like to think that he's more of a moderate. He's not. What he did with the nursing homes, look, maybe initially putting the people in nursing homes, if he really thought that that COVID was going to like overwhelm the hospitals. Maybe it was okay.
But you had that hospital ship that Trump sent there, and they didn't use it.
They didn't use it because he didn't want to give Trump credit for anything. It was criminal. It was criminal, and then covering it up and writing this absurd book about what a hero he was. But the media promoted him and kept it going, same as they do with Fauci and all of this. Look, I mean, Cuomo's a disaster for New York, but he'll probably win re-election next year.
Unfortunately, I hope that people don't get if they vote for him, they're going to get what they deserve, and that's what we see happening in New York, and we see this happening in Denver and Colorado. I mean, Colorado. We're in a tough spot here. Elections really do matter. Your final thought, Seth, we've got about 15 seconds.
My final thought is Colorado. You've got to turn away from this path you're on. Don't let the Californians coming in ruin your state any more than they have. Look at New York. This is your future.
Okay. Well, Seth Barron, it's been a fascinating conversation. Thank you so much. And again, that book is The Last Days of New York, A Reporter's True Tale. Thanks so much, Seth Barron.
Thank you, Kim.
And our quote for today is Frank Sinatra. He said, "If I can make it there, I'll make it anywhere. It's up to you, New York, New York." So my friends, today, be grateful, read great books, think good thoughts, listen to beautiful music, communicate and listen well. Live honestly and authentically, strive for high ideals, and like Superman, stand for truth, justice, and the American way. My friends, you are not alone. God bless you, and God bless America.
Fast on a rough road, riding high through the mountains, climbing, twisting, turning further from my home. Young. Like a new moon rising, fierce through the rain and lightning, wandering out into this great unknown. And I don't want no one to cry, but tell them if I don't survive.
The views and opinions expressed on KLZ 560 are those of the speaker, commentators, hosts, their guests, and callers. They are not necessarily the views and opinions of Crawford Broadcasting or KLZ Management, employees, associates, or advertisers. KLZ 560 is a Crawford Broadcasting God and Country station.
KLZ AM HD Denver, AM 560 and 100.7 FM.